AM 1220 KDOW presents Money 2.0. Money 2.0. Now, helping you excel in business and in life. Here's business coach and Money 2.0 host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to Business on the Edge. This show is brought to you by Business on the Edge, your small business problem solver, and Kellyanne's Salon and Day Spa, the spa experience that will keep you coming back for more. You can connect with Business on the Edge through our social media channels at Twitter, Business on the AD, LinkedIn, and Margaret Jackson, our new Facebook page, MJ Radio Show Host, or Radio Host, excuse me, MJ Radio Host. If you type that in, you'll find the page and click on that like button and stay connected with us. Our Facebook group page at On the Edge Women in Business. You can post your product, services, and all kinds of stuff, motivation, events, you know, women connecting with women. It's a group for you to enjoy and to kind of follow some of the things that we're doing and then us following some of the things that you're doing. So get out there and connect with us on Facebook or LinkedIn or some of the other social media channels. If you want to connect with me directly, you can email me at onthe edge@businessontheedge.biz with questions, comments, concerns, topics, you name it. You can connect with me and I can get some of that, those concerns on the air, huh? Or topics on the air. We always want to thank our listeners for tuning in each week. We appreciate your listenership here at AM 1220 KDOW, the area's business leader. We work hard to bring you a great show that inspires your professional development and small business growth. You can always dial into the show and get your questions and comments on the air at 1-800-516-1220. That's 1-800-516-1220. Success is the child of drudgery and perseverance. It cannot be coaxed or bribed. Pay the price and it is yours. Success is the child of drudgery and perseverance. It cannot be coaxed or bribed. Pay the price and it is yours. That is a quote by Dr. Orson Swett Marden in the late 1800s, about 1850 or so, 1850 to 1900s, 1920s. Was an American inspirational author who wrote on success in life and how to achieve it. So if you ever want to pick up any of his books, you can get those out on Amazon. He's not paying me to do this, 1850 to 1924, but an American inspirational author on success in life. People want to be successful, and they've been writing about it and talking about it since the dawn of time. My power question tonight, my power question for this evening, rather than a power fact, why have a coach? We're going to talk a little bit about it, who's using coaches and why. I want to talk a little bit about, before we get into why I have a coach, I know we've had a lot of news this week with regards to the Germanwings airliner 9525, the folks that lost their lives and the co-pilot that decided to make such a bad decision. I want the families and the, you know, friends, the people out there that are connected with this horrific, it's just so hard to really kind of, I'm even finding difficulties finding the right words to just say, you know, our prayers are with you. This is a very, very difficult time. You know, even though we're here in the United States, we are sensitive and to what's going on around the world. You know, when acts of violence and these types of things happen, we are human, we feel that. And so our prayers are certainly with the families and everyone that lost that day. And I asked someone to come on the show to kind of talk a little bit about restoration. When something happens, Kingdom Family Resources, Elizabeth Stewart, California, intern therapist, CEO of Kingdom Family Resources. And how are you tonight, Elizabeth?
Doing great. Doing great. Thanks, Margaret.
You know, this topic of how you know, we've been talking about the co-pilot, but I want to talk for a moment about the families, the people that have lost, that are flying to the French Alps to just kind of get some closure. And you work in an industry that you help people restore, you help families restore, you help in difficult situations. And what do you do this is right now, you know, we've been hearing terms like murder, suicide, and things like that. How do the families and how do the loved ones and how do the people, you know, the employees, all of these people that are connected to this one flight, how do they reconcile that? How are they restored?
Well, you know, our condolences go out to the families, because it's situations like this. It's a really compacted level of grief, and when it comes to restoration, it's really going to be about coming to terms with a loss without closure. It's going to be coming to terms with managing the grief within themselves, hoping that they are able to get some type of grief support, individual counseling, in addition to a grief support group connected to other people that can offer unconditional care and help them walk through the journey. So the power of community is that when we do suffer tragic losses like this, it really takes a community of people to support and love each other through this. When it comes to managing the levels of grief, the loss of not just the loved one, the loss of answers, the loss of being able to say goodbye, the loss of not even being able to ask in this situation, the pilot, you know, what in the world is going on with you? It's layers of grief. And when it comes to restoration, it's really going to take work on the surviving family members. It's going to take the work on their part to work through the levels of grief and being able to let go in their time and in their way and be able to move forward, not forget. Never forget the memories and the good times you had, but to let go of, something you cannot have any answers about at this point. It's doable. I've seen people do it, but it just takes time, a lot of grace, a lot of patience, and just giving those families the time to work through that process.
Right, right. I've been following this story. I've been sitting on the edge of my seat watching, you know, the different reports on the different news stations, and you know, you have the family, and you also have employees. You have
yes.
this, you know, typically there's some sort of bond, and I would think, you know, in this type of industry that there's some sort of bond between the employees and the flight attendants and the pilots, and that there has to be a level of trust. Because this is not just going into a building and you're working together. You're working together, you know, 35,000 feet in the air, 30,000. There has to be a level of trust. And now, what does that do for the employees, the infrastructure in terms of that workplace? What's going on there? I have to wonder that, you know, and what are the pilots thinking, and what are the flight attendants thinking in terms of, you know, they're in this type of industry.
You know, it's interesting that I think what happens often, I'm going through this in other fields of professions that I deal with in terms of, you know, education and media and just various arenas that I deal with, is that a lot of times, because we don't, the focus is on, let's say in a high tech company, the focus is on the product. And when you lose sight of the employee, which is really your most important commodity, because without the employee, you wouldn't have the product, you wouldn't be able to produce. So I think oftentimes our eyes are taken off the employee and being able to recognize signs and symptoms of basic functioning in people. I think we've seen it, historically we look at Columbine and what happened back east a few years ago with another school campus, and really taking a look at what was going on in the lives of those people. What were the signs? What were the signals? What were the symptoms? I was directly connected to two of the victims that were murdered here in Cupertino at the plant. There was at least five victims, and then the murderer, the guy who shot those folks, he ended up getting shot by the police after they caught up with him. I don't know if you remember that. That was a few years ago.
Sure, yes, you do.
Yeah, so it created it created a sense of, you know, where's the trust? Who knew what was going on? Who addressed it? Who assessed this person's needs? Very tragic, because in some respects, again, the question was, gosh, this could have been prevented. Years ago, I was working with a church here in California, and on a Sunday morning, this particular congregant was in service that Sunday night, killed himself. Later, after I was notified and I was asked to address a group of folks that were associated with him, one of the members, his friends, associates, knew that he had a gun. And I just, you know, again, my mind goes back to, where did we miss assessing and recognizing the signs? So I ended up doing an educational piece for this particular congregation. Now, this was a while ago, but it still rings, it really hits me to the core, simply because we are not assessing and looking at the needs of the people that we are employing or the people that we are serving. We have to pay a little closer attention to that. Sure. And that's not a blame thing. That's just, what are we doing to really recognize, what can we do should be the bigger question. What can we do to recognize when somebody is not functioning to their capacity, and particularly sure. when people's lives are placed in your hands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We're gonna go to a break, and then we're going to wrap up with Elizabeth Stewart, AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Business on the Edge. We're going to wrap up with Elizabeth Stewart, California intern therapist, founder and CEO of Kingdom Family Resources. Liz, in your final thoughts here for our audience, and I know we've been focusing, you know, I wanted to really focus on the employees, on the families, the trust level, you know, the employees of the airline, you know, they're going back to work. They're having to rebuild that trust. What would be your final thoughts on to the audience, and maybe, you know, by some, you know, I'm sure they're not tuning into this radio show tonight there in Germany, but what would you say if they were maybe someone who's here in the United States that might be connected? What would you say in terms of closure and really and maybe some of the flight attendants are here in terms of that trust? How do they rebuild that, or how do they move from now into tomorrow and rebuilding their world?
Yeah, you know, what's going to be really important is that they, first of all, just take time off to go through their feelings, deal with their feelings. hoping if there's somebody here in the state that's dealing with this situation that they can somehow get connected to other family members or other employees associated and connected to the situation, just so they can have opportunities to ask questions, to receive any questions, to get any kind of information regarding the situation. In addition, hopefully they can get connected to a type of support group to deal with this kind of loss. It's going to be important that they get connected to a community to support them through this. This is a multi-layered grief that they're dealing with. So it's kind of what we call complex grief. So being connected to a support group, knowing that this is not going to be fixed overnight, it's going to take some time. There's support groups such as the Center for Living with Dying here in California, various groups to support with that. And I think finally, find a way to say goodbyes in a way that works for you. For some people, that would be a letter. Some people, that would be buying flowers. Some people, that would travel to the site. Whatever works for them, find a way to say goodbye. And it doesn't have to be right now. You know, it may take a couple months, maybe a year, whatever that process is for them. Don't stop working through the grief and come to a place where you are willing to say, all right, I want to get to a place of being able to say goodbye. If you say, I never, ever want to let go of this, then you're going to end up, it's going to end up impacting other areas of your life. Sometimes we use the word get stuck. You don't want to get stuck. You want to work through the process.
Right.
So, yeah, our best and our prayers go out to the families in the situation.
Yes, and here at 1220 KDOW, our prayers and thoughts go out to the families and the employees and the people of Germany and German airliner,
yeah,
or German Wings. So I want to thank you for coming on and sharing a little bit with us, Elizabeth. And if you want to connect with Elizabeth, you can connect with her at kingdomfamilyresources.com. That's her website, and you can connect, and, you know, she can help support you maybe in some things that you may be going through. Thank you again for joining us on the show tonight.
Thank you.
I wanted to thank you for allowing me to kind of, you know, when major things happen, that's this horrific. I never want to just continue to do what I do as usual, that it's just another day and not acknowledge that lives have been lost. Precious, precious, precious lives have been lost. And stopping and kind of walking through it a little bit, I think we're all impacted to some degree. You know, we've had a lot of things going on with airlines in the last, you know, 12 months, you know, so it's been a lot. So anyway, I want to bring on Maram Alawat. I'm going to bring her on, and we're going to talk a little bit about an event that is happening this Sunday. And I'm even going to learn a little bit about the Arab Women's Conference, Arab Women and the Media. So, Maram, how are you tonight?
Good. Thank you for having me, Margaret. How are you doing?
I'm great. Now, this is the 8th annual conference. So what is this about exactly?
Okay, so this is the 8th annual Arab Women's Conference. It's called Quwwat al-Mar'a, which translated from Arabic means the power or strength of a woman. And this year's theme is actually focused on Arab women in the media, mm-hmm, and the influence of Arab women throughout the world in telling their stories, mm-hmm, and correcting the narrative that we often hear incorrectly in the media. So I'm really excited. I'm a new board member with the Arab Cultural and Community Center effective this year, but I did attend last year's event, and you know, it was really fun both for the women and the men that attended. It's just a really good way to,
sure,
to mingle with people of other cultures. And yeah.
So this I'm excited. I'm going to be with Maram on Sunday at the Arab Women and the Media event. We're going to go to a commercial break. Stay there. Maram will come back in just a moment. AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Business on the Edge. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the Arab Women in the Media, the eighth annual Arab Women's Conference, and I'm looking forward to attending this event. It's my first time, so I'm going to learn a lot about the culture. We are trying to get our guest back on, Maram Alawat, who is sharing a little bit about it, and it looks like we've got her back. How, Maram, you're back.
Yes, I'm sorry, I can barely hear you, but yes, I'm back. I think the reception's a little bit.
Okay, so the eighth annual event, this is new for me. What can attendees expect at this event?
Of women and some men coming together for some great Arabic food and listening to some panel topics that include the media and Arab women's voices, changing narratives of Arab women based on their input and activity in the media, and hearing Arab women's voices from the front lines, reporting and journalism. They'll also have access to workshops on public speaking and a workshop on social media for campaign organizing.
Fantastic.
So it should be really eventful, and at the same time, it's going to be fun and casual. So they'll get some Middle Eastern food, some great networking, and we're going to have some vendors as well, some small businesses presenting, you know, what they do.
Sure, sure. Now, can people still register for that, or?
Yes, they can. There are also going to be tickets sold at the location, which is St. Mary's Cathedral in San Francisco. So at this point, I think it's, you know, people can just show up and register at the door. That might be easier than, you know, trying to register online at this late hour.
Okay, so they can get more information, though, at arabwomensconference.com, and that'll give them the location information, directions.
Exactly, yes. It's www.arabwomensconference.com, so Arab Women's Conference, all one word. They can also just Google the Arab Cultural and Community Center of San Francisco, and there's a direct link with all the program details, the hours, and the speakers.
Okay, so you have the ArabsWomen'sConference.com, and then you have, can you give us that, do you have the web address for the for the Cultural Center?
Absolutely. It is www.ArabCulturalCenter.org, and it's all one word, ArabCulturalCenter.org.
Okay, so you have those two links, ArabWomen'sConference.com and ArabCulturalCenter.org, and that's March 29th. Come out. I will be out and do a off-the-cuff show out there. Would love to meet some of you guys that listen in. Thank you so much, Maram, for calling in this evening and just kind of giving us some information on what's going on around the Bay. And can you give us the title of this event one more time? Can you say that?
Absolutely. It's the 8th Annual Arab Women's Conference, Quwwat al-Mar'a.
Quwwat al-Mar'a.
Very, very good. Beautifully done, Margaret.
I'm trying. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Maram Alawat, everyone. Thank you for calling in, and we will see you on Sunday.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Working on my Arabic. That's awesome. Let's go ahead and go to a break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about coaches. AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Business on the Edge. So we have had an interesting first half of the show. And so we're going to talk a little bit about why have a coach and the difference between a coach and a mentor. In the coming weeks, I'm not sure when I'll let you guys know, I am going to bring on several coaches so we can talk a little bit about their experiences with their with some of their customers and some of the things that we see out there. And it's sometimes so amazing, and I have to scratch my head. And I do these new take five segments, and the Take Five segments go out to our Women in Business Club. And now we have actually the Women in Business Club. We have a networking level that men can join. It's limited access to what's going on inside the porthole, but you do get some great perks and benefits and can connect with the directory and all of that. But and you would get the Take Five. The Take Five is 5 minutes of taking 5 minutes during the day and breathing and talking about, you know, I might send something out about legacy, and today it was about steady, being steady and persevering through difficult situations in light of the things that are going on right now. But sometimes as a coach, I hear some of the most remarkable comments, and I'm always amazed when there's a devaluation of coaches. And coaching is really not a new concept. You know, we've seen it in sports for years, but in terms of just great coaching is really consulting. You know, we've given it a new term, a new name. You know, we've evolved from consulting to coaching, but it's not new. And when you devalue what the coach is bringing to the table because they're talking, they're giving information. Information costs something. It costs time, effort, resources. It costs that person something that they put into to become that consultant, that coach. But what do coaches do? Why should you have one? And who's using coaches? Number one, coaches bring insight. I like analogies. I like watching how coaches, sports coaches, NBA coaches, NFLers, and what they see from the sideline versus being out on the field or being out in the I was recently at a Warriors game, and I had great seats, great seats. So I had a bird's eye view as to what was going on the court. The coach isn't there to tell the skilled player. They understand, the skilled player and the coach understands that the skilled player understands how to play basketball, for example. So when you're coaching in a corporation, the coach isn't there to tell the C-level executive or the supervisor or the owner of the business about what they're skilled in. They know they're skilled in whatever they're doing. That's why they're doing what they're doing. But the coach is bringing insight so they can help that individual see what they don't see or think about what they're not thinking about. And so with that, because sometimes you just don't see it, you have so much going on, there has to be someone in play when you're coaching and when you're consulting, and we bring in all kinds of different coaches to deal with different aspects of our businesses or in corporate America, they'll bring in different types of, you know, consultants or analysts. And, you know, so you have these different names that all kind of really mean the same thing. You know, like we just had on Elizabeth Stewart. She's also a coach, so she does one-on-one and she consults. So, you know, in terms of family situations and you know, helping people, you know, balance life out. So what else do coaches do? They introduce you. They can introduce you to processes in business. You know, there's process documents, there's activities. They want to help improve your outcome. Coaches want to improve the outcome for you, help you get there. Like when I use the analogy of sports, you know what coaches want? They want to win championships. Do you know what coaches and consultants want when they're working with an organization? They want championships. They want you to succeed. And they're giving you information to help change maybe those and augment those dynamics so that way you can be in a better place to win. And so what else do coaches do? Coaches will introduce you to new behaviors that relate to specific needs within the organization. Coaches will share knowledge of emerging trends. Coaches will give access to other leaders in the field. Coaches will introduce career-related activities to enhance skills. Coaches versus mentoring. In a nutshell, coaches typically get paid and mentors don't. You know, mentorships tend to be unpaid and informal. And then, of course, coaching or consulting is typically a paid position. So, like, I am mentoring an intern. I'm not getting paid. I'm actually losing money when I mentor him. When he comes in and he'll email me and he's just like, you know, am I going to be in the office today? I'm not always in my office. Most of the time, I'm not in my office. I'm either out working with customers, or I'm working from my home location. I have a home office, and I have to physically go into my office to mentor him and to supervise him, to help him move forward in what he's wanting and trying to do. And so who's using coaches? Corporate America is using coaches, and they're bringing them in to help do what? Win championships, corporate championships. Absolutely. You know, so when you look at coaches, so who's doing it? 97% of corporations use coaches in mentoring. At least informally, they do. 66% have formal executive mentoring programs. And then 38% have formal executive coaching programs. So when you throw away your coaches and you think your coaches are, why do I need this? I've had more of especially small business owners have a real hard time for the most part on appreciating the value of a coach. So why do you do it? Because I know they need a coach. They need a coach, whether they understand that or not. And so what I do is I work with the motivated business owners. Why? Because they value what I bring to the table, or the consultant or the coach, you know, that they may be, you know, they can use other coaches as well, you know, what that expertise is and that they bring to the table. Those that don't get it will fight you on every little thing. And it's like, okay, if you know it all, you don't need a coach. And so have you ever seen a basketball player who just knew it all? And what kind of team player was that? They didn't win any championships. You know, so we're going to go to a quick break and we're going to wrap up a little bit more on coaches, and then we'll get out of here for the evening. AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Business on the Edge. We're going to wrap up with the coaching. I really enjoy being a coach. We have so many coaches, life coaches, business coaches. I'm affectionately known as a business purpose coach. And what does that really mean? That means that I am really going to put my best commitment and effort behind your success, the purpose of your success. And so coaching, again, is a formal, personalized approach, okay? Whereas mentoring is informal relationship. Now, the value of coaching, the best or the most successful results are programs. How are the programs structured? Programs that are, so I'll give you a couple of points. There's different types of models and designs and structures in coaching and mentoring programs. Corporations have researched this out. And again, the most successful results are those that are that have a comprehensive approach to, say, leadership development. Coaching and mentoring programs are components, strong business initiatives, CEOs business initiatives, so you want to be motivated. Clearly defined, and this is what I like, because we have now moved to this type of program or design, rather. Clearly defined goals, objectives, and measurements. Do you know why? And although one-on-one coaching has some benefit, when you are trying to build a business, one-on-one coaching is not as productive as it can be if the owner of that company, that new business, that CEO, is inconsistent with the coaching, with putting something in place, a program in place. The coach does this, a comprehensive program for them to move forward. And one of the other things that now I'm learning with having implemented programs at Business on the Edge is that it is more efficient and effective if they have a business plan, because you have so much deriving from that. Because what you learn is that they're not sure where they're going without having, you know, a plan in place. So those that have come into the programs, and we have various types of programs, we have about 6 different programs, we're going to go back and help them get their plans together. Why? Because they're going to be much more successful, strategic in what they're trying to do. And so, and one of the things that is most important is that coaches are external consultants rather than current staff or people that are in-house. Why? Because you want to bring someone else who has a different perspective. They can be more objective about what's going on, and they can help build the strength within an organization. And there's so much more I can say about coaches and versus mentoring. But what am I getting at is that if you're a small business owner, don't devalue what the coach is trying to do. And don't think that because they're helping you build, and we build a lot of processes, process guides, and resources that help businesses move forward. Don't devalue them because you don't understand. Ask questions. Stay in the program. Stay connected so you can get long-term and have that long-term success. If you want to be a huge corporation one day or a very strong, sustainable company, I got news for you. You're going to have to do the work. You're going to have a plan. You're going to have the infrastructure. And if you don't have it, I guarantee it, you will work your way out of business you're going to do business that constantly keeps you stressed out. So you're listening to AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader. Have a great weekend.